This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders. On a beautiful sunny day, row after row of white headstones fill a cemetery. Ben Gazzara in The Death of Richie, with narrative description by AudioVision Canada. A small group of mourners gathers for a burial service. Also starring Eileen Brennan and Robbie Benson as Richie. Three scruffy teenagers stand solemnly at the gravesite, produced by Michael Jaffe. A woman takes the hand of her slight teenage son. Executive producer, Charles B. Fitzsimons. Director of photography, Robert B. Hauser. A husband and wife sit beside the grave with their young son behind them. The wife, Carol, stares at the coffin as her husband, George, weeps and bites down on a handkerchief. Teleplay by John McGreevy. Based on the book by Thomas Thompson. Directed by Paul Wenkos. At night, a car weaves through several lanes as it barrels down a suburban street.
Hey, Bricker, when the tower clears you, I'm ready to crash.
Oh, wow. Man. Hang in there.
It's early.
It's after midnight, man.
That's early. If I go home now, my old man will still be up.
Based on the true story.
Is she all right?
All right.
Hey, Rich.
But
how come we always go along with your ideas, man? Here, take the pen.
I'll tell you why. Because I am a born leader. The sixth grade teacher once told me that. I'm also the slickest looking dude in this freaked out bunch. And I got the best ideas.
Actually, the real reason is we can't resist your overwhelming humility.
As the three scruffy teenagers laugh, Richie tokes on a hash pipe.
Are you kidding me? This guy was blind before we started.
They veer toward a parked car. And Richie grabs the wheel in the nick of time. They roll down the windows, and the driver, Brick, tries to clear his fuzzy head.
Where's the hash?
Oh, I get the hash.
Just wait now, straighten up.
Are you all right, man?
Come on, Brick.
They pull to the curb.
You all right?
Thank you.
You all right?
Okay.
We can handle this.
Brick pours himself out of the car and stumbles toward the police officer.
Hello, Brick.
Hello.
The street doesn't seem wide enough for you tonight.
There's, something's wrong with the steering mechanism.
Yeah?
Yeah. It keeps slipping.
The officer looks down into the car.
Hello, officer?
Richie can barely keep his eyes open. The officer walks back to Brick.
I think you better get that steering mechanism fixed.
So I'll do that.
I'm going to let you off this time, Brick, as a favor. And when I do a favor for someone, I expect him to do a favor for me. You understand?
Sure.
I understand.
The officer nods, and Brick heads back to his car. The the stoned teenagers drive away.
There's no problem in the world that can't be solved with a minute of good grass.
What, you mean the man who smokes?
Yeah, he smokes, but he don't inhale.
In the back seat, Peanuts and Mark howl with laughter. At 2:10 in the morning, George lies awake in bed. Richie sneaks in the front door. When he bumps into the hall table, George sits up. Carol rolls over and they exchange a troubled look. Richie slips into his bedroom. A sign on his door reads, "No trespassing. Violators will be eaten." George gets out of bed.
Don't worry. I won't start anything.
Pulling on his robe, he steps into the hall as Richie quickly slips into bed. George steps into Richie's bedroom.
Richie?
He pretends to sleep. Closing the door, George approaches the bed and grins.
Come on, I know you're awake.
Richie doesn't move.
Now look, there's this thing between us I don't want. How about working together? Getting rid of it. I thought that this weekend, maybe you and Russell and me, we'd go up to the mountains. Should be nice at this time of year.
When his father looks over at him, Richie opens his eyes.
You know something?
George sits in a chair.
This is the time of your life I always look forward to. You'll be taking your college board soon. When I was a kid, I never even thought of college. And my father, he couldn't pay the bills even if I did. And then there was the war. I volunteered for the Merchant Marine when I was about your age. And then when the war ended, it was too late to think of college.
He moves over and sits on Richie's bed.
Oh, that's different for you. I mean, if you want to go, and you get the grades to get in, I'll help you. Of course, have to get a job, but that wouldn't hurt, would it?
Richie shakes his head.
And when I was younger, I thought it was only a matter of time till I got to the top. And little by little, I realized that my life was work. Pay the bills. That's about it. No.
George stares off into space.
I'd like to be a forest ranger way up on the mountain. But I'm not just a spice salesman. And
he wipes away a tear.
I have been for 17 years, probably always will be. Maybe I never had it in me to be anything else. But you do. You can be anything you want to be. If you don't let drugs and those friends of yours destroy it.
What's wrong with my friends?
You know how I feel about that brick.
You don't even know that brick.
I know him. I know him. I know he's 2 years older than you. I know he's a dropout. I know he's been arrested for marijuana. I know him. And those other
friends, that Peanuts, that Mark.
Look, Jack, you're not picking my friends for me.
Some friends can be helpful. Yours will drag you down.
Yeah, well, I don't tell you who to run around with, so you don't tell me, all right?
As long as you live in my house, I'll tell you what I want to tell you, and you'll listen.
Yeah, well, if I can't make you shut your mouth, you can't make me listen.
Richie, why must you make everything an argument?
I got nothing to say to you. You definitely got nothing to say that I want to hear, so why don't you just get the hell out of here, huh? Why don't you just get your butt out of here? Man, you always preach about privacy and you come busting in here in the middle of the night. Just get out of here, will ya?
He stares at his son, hurt. Then he heads to the door. Richie whiffs his pillow at the door, then climbs out of bed. He opens the closet, pushes aside the clothes, and moves a false panel, uncovering a hole in the wall. He ducks through the hole and covers it back up. George returns to his bedroom.
It's no use.
You can't just give up on him, you know. He needs your help.
He doesn't want anything from me. He hates me.
George, that's not true. You know it. So mixed up, you know, I don't think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, well, how long have we been yelling at each other? Almost 2 years now. I'm not going to put up with it. I got to do something for everybody's sake.
What?
Well, I'm going to go to court. I'll file a wayward conduct petition against him.
What is that?
Well, all it means is that the juvenile authorities will keep an eye on him, and if he goes off the deep end, he'll have to answer to them.
I think that's terrible. I mean, it's just like washing our hands of it. It's like throwing...
It's just getting a little more support, that's all.
Please don't do that.
Well, I made up my mind.
Carol gets out of bed.
Carol?
And marches out of the room.
Carol?
In a small nook behind his closet, Richie lies stoned under a strobe light surrounded by psychedelic posters. He strokes his throat and chest. The next day at the police station...
You're having some problems with your son.
Yeah, my older boy, Richie. He's on drugs. Marijuana, LSD, I don't know what else.
How do you know it's drugs?
Because I can't handle him anymore. He's out of control.
Yeah, well, that can happen at 16, you know, even without drugs.
Not with my boy.
You want some of this? It's not good, but it's hot. You know, Mr. Werner, I get a lot of kids through here. And so many of them seem to feel useless. They don't see any value to what they're doing. That makes them defiant.
Yeah, but why should he defy me? All I ever did was try to give him what he wanted.
Have you talked this through with Richie?
Yeah. Yeah, I try. He won't listen to me. And when I do, he starts yelling.
Yeah, well, filing a wayward conduct petition is very unusual.
I want him to stop. Realize what he's doing.
Okay. Let's go back and fill out the request. Oh, you do understand, don't you, that there'll have to be a full hearing in court?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, while you're waiting for the court hearing, you and your boy ought to go to the county drug council. Get some help.
Drug council?
There are a lot of other people, just like yourself, who are looking for an answer. Some answer. Get together with them. Get some professional help. You may find that things get just a lot better.
I don't believe in this group therapy thing.
Yeah.
The detective walks away, and George follows him. Later, at a pinball arcade...
What do you guys know about a wayward conduct petition?
Now, my dear old dad just filed one again.
It's like you're on probation, right?
No. He says that the juvenile authorities are keeping an eye on me.
What it means is he's fingered you, man. It's like you said to the law, this is a rotten kid. Find some excuse to bust him.
Get this. We gotta go to court together in a couple of weeks.
I'm telling you, Richie. He's buying you a one-way ticket to the juvenile shelter.
Nobody's locking me up.
You know, like, once they get your name on one of those sheets, they can do anything they want.
Anything at all. Hey, remember I used to have hair down on my shoulders? Cut it, they said. Get yourself a baldy. I'm not kidding, no stupid baldy. So I fought him. Oh, yeah, boy, did I fight him. Where did I end up? Ended up in a stupid juvenile show.
Well, that's the difference between me and you, man. Because I would have run away.
Found you, man.
Yeah, they find you. Everybody's hooked into a computer today. They'll find you no matter where you go.
Richie smiles weakly.
What do you guys know about the Drug Abuse Council?
It's a waste of time.
They choke on a joint.
Waste of time? What do you mean waste of time? Every pothead in the city goes there. It's an easy place to make a score. It's like a freaky drug bazaar. Pot smoker's paradise.
Ah, shut up, Peanuts. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I know what I'm talking about. A guy made a buy right there in one of the big meeting rooms.
At a gun club, George and two other men fire pistols at paper targets. George looks at his results and hands the target to his friend.
You're so good, it's discouraging. You know that? Look at this.
You were a tough act to follow, George.
I've been at it a couple of years.
Practice makes perfect.
What a popular idea these days.
Yeah, today everybody's looking for what's easy.
And instant. The age of instant everything. Instant muscles, instant beauty, instant success,
instant sex.
Well, there's a lot more to it than just squeezing the trigger. You got to concentrate. Got your mind all cluttered, you never get anywhere down here.
Hey, it's taken me a lot of years to accumulate the clutter I got in my head.
Well, there's a good way to get rid of it. You fire around and you see exactly what the problem is. High, low, wide. And you try again. Gets better and better and better. Good feeling.
Not like most of my problems. The more I try to figure out what I'm doing wrong, the deeper in I get.
You guys signed up for the Canadian hunting trip?
Not me.
How come? With your eye, you'd bring back more game than all the rest of us put together.
Well, George doesn't approve of the club's hunting trips. You know, killing living things.
That's right. See you guys later.
Hey, George, we're going to have a beer. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
I know. I'd better be going on home.
Okay.
George leaves. That evening, around the dinner table...
Come on, Les, I'll finish your milk, okay?
I really can't, Mom. Do I have to?
He's right. He shouldn't stuff himself before a game.
May I go get ready?
I guess so.
Young Russell jumps up from the table.
Nothing's more important in this house than Little League.
Richie sighs.
I've been thinking... about that thing you filed with the juvenile court?
Yeah. Well, I know you're probably not going to believe this, but I went to court because I wanted to help you.
I know.
Carol glances at her husband.
I read in the paper they're opening a new Regal Burger in Oakwood, and they're still hiring. Maybe if you had a job.
What do I know about working in a restaurant?
Well, you could learn, couldn't you?
Way out in Oakwood?
Sure, I'd drive you there.
Oh, come on, they probably got, I don't know, 10 people for every job.
Oh, come on, Richie, come on. How about it? Try it, please.
Hey, go there tomorrow, huh?
George gets up and pats Richie on the shoulder.
Hey, Russell, get a move on.
George?
Yeah.
What about the other thing?
What other thing?
The drug council.
I thought maybe we ought to check that out.
I said I'd try to get a job. Now, don't dump it all on me, all right?
If we could get some help, free.
Oh, well, Richie's right. Besides, there's no better medicine than a steady job. Huh?
Hey, come on, Dad. We're going to be late.
Okay.
George gives Carol a reassuring touch and leaves.
Good luck, Russell.
Thanks, Rich.
The next day, George and Richie pull into a strip mall parking lot in front of a Regal Burger restaurant. George taps Richie on the chest.
Good luck.
I don't think I can do it, Dad. What if he doesn't like me?
Now look at it this way. They'll be lucky to get a guy like you.
Richie lowers his eyes.
I mean, Richie, you gotta have more faith in yourself. You want me to go with you?
No.
George slaps him on the back. Richie gets out of the car and heads to the restaurant. George gets out of the car . He watches his son through the restaurant window. Soon after, a waitress pulls the help wanted sign from the window.
Dad? Dad, I got it.
Good. I knew you could do it.
You know, the guy really seemed to like me.
Big surprise. Big surprise.
They climb back into the car. Later, in court.
Where's your son?
Well, Your Honor, I want to withdraw the charges I filed against Richie. He has a job now.
Yeah, it's a place called the Regal Burger.
Yeah, and things have been a lot better at home.
A lot better?
Oh, yes, I think it's just made all the difference.
He filed this petition less than a month ago. How long has he had this job?
A couple of weeks.
It was just after school let out for the summer, and he really seems to enjoy his work. So you're telling this court that your boy's made a miraculous recovery?
Yes, Your Honor. Well, if he acted like this before, I never would have brought the charges.
15 years of dealing with juvenile drug problems inclines me to be skeptical, Mr. Werner, about miraculous recovery. However, I will accept your petition for withdrawal. It's always better if these problems can be worked out at home.
Thank you.
Oh, I do think you and your boy should continue your work with the drug council.
Oh, we never started that.
Why not?
Well, I thought with Richie's job and all that...
Don't put it off, Mr. Werner. Miracles need all the help we can give them.
Nodding, George heads out of the courtroom with Carol.
Case number 178432.
Later, at Regal Burger.
Sure.
Richie hurries behind the counter to pour a couple of sodas and notices Brick, Mark, and Peanut swagger in. He runs the sodas to a table.
A couple of straws for my elbow. Ooh, here, let me take that. You don't need to build muscles. I do.
Taking a heavy tray from a waitress, he carries it behind the counter and grabs a pot of coffee.
Coffee machine here. Here you go, sir. What is your capacity, about 20 gallons? You know, there's no fee for all the coffee you can drink, but there's a $5 restroom charge.
Leaving the customer smiling, Richie hurries to his friends.
What can I do for the intrepid trio?
You're looking good, Richie.
We don't want nothing, Richie.
As a matter of fact, Richie, got something for you.
Hey, man, hey, listen. We just connected for 24 downers.
Yeah?
Let's get out of here and get wasted.
Come on, Richie.
Let's go for it.
I can't, man. My mom's picking me up.
Come on.
Call her.
Tell her. I'll catch you guys later.
He moves on to another table.
Man, where is the fast, courteous service this time happening?
It's really a nice move, Rich, but I don't want to spend a whole summer here. Now, let's go.
See you, Richie.
Richie's friends leave.
Finest name's beaten.
Passing Carol as she walks into the restaurant.
Funny, Rich. Okay, I want a cheeseburger and french fries.
And it's first.
She watches her son work. Then looks back with mistrust at his friends.
Ladies first.
Later, Carol walks through the Drug Council building.
Excuse me. I telephoned this morning and they said I could sit in on one of your meetings. For the parents whose children are on drugs.
Oh, let's see. Well, why don't you try the group in number 106? It's just right down the hall.
Thank you.
Carol?
A woman approaches with her slight teenage son.
Hello, Betty. How are you?
You know Dominic.
Hi, Mrs. Warner. How are you?
Hello, Dominic. I didn't think there would be so many people.
Mrs. Warner, if they busted every kid in this town and smoked pot, they'd hold their meetings in a football stadium. I'll see you later, all right?
Dominic.
Mom, it's all right. It's okay.
Dominic leaves.
Yeah, I guess you're wondering why I'm here. What right do I have to wonder? Dom was arrested 2 weeks ago, possession of marijuana and LSD. It was his first time, so he wasn't held, but we agreed to come here.
Is it helping?
Helping, at least we know that we're not the only family with this kind of problem. Well, nothing like that has happened to us yet. I just thought if I knew more, I understood more.
Where'd they send you?
106.
Oh, that's where I'm going. Come on.
Good.
They head off together.
Good evening, everyone. For those of you who are just starting with us, I want you to understand this is your group. I'm only here to expedite and make things easier. You all have at least one thing in common. You have a child who's been arrested for holding drugs. So what we want to do in this room tonight is get at our feelings. Get at the anger, get at the fear, and the hopelessness. Because I know as soon as there's any kind of trouble with the law, the first impulse is to shut that door, pull those drapes, and hide that shame. Well, that doesn't do any good for anyone. So, let's open up and share. Who wants to start tonight?
The parents sit in a circle, glancing at one another.
Someone then just tell us how it feels to be here.
Degrading.
If you give us your name first, please.
Morris Pope. As far as I'm concerned, this whole setup is another piece of bureaucratic blackmail.
You feel blackmailed?
Aye.
Morris paces around the circle.
We'll let your kid off the hook if you'll agree to bring him to the drug council for 6 weeks. So, a couple of hundred freeloaders who work here can stay on the county payroll.
Larry Sullivan. Mr. Polk, would it have made you happier if they pressed charges against your son?
And I'll tell you what'll make me happy. Have the cops out busting muggers and killers instead of busting a bunch of kids.
My name's Betty Fumani. Your son broke the law, Mr. Polk, and so did mine.
So what? Everybody breaks the law. Our kids were just dumb enough to be caught, that's all. So they put us through this group think session. Let me pay a fine. Forget it.
What was your son holding when they busted him?
LSD.
Has he had many trips?
How would I know? These kids, they'll try anything.
My daughter tried LSD. Once too often. She's been in a coma for the past 19 months. You're dead wrong if you think that a light fine and forget it is the answer.
Mrs. Blair, with your daughter as she is, why are you here? I mean, how can this help her?
It can't. But it helps me.
Morris slinks back to his seat.
Mrs. Fermani. I forget. Are you a widow?
No, my husband works nights.
Does that mean that you have all the responsibility of your son?
No, Gino's a good father.
What does that mean?
Just what I said. He pays the rent and he gives you the money to buy the food.
Oh, he's a good father.
He's close to your son then, what you mean?
Do they talk?
Of course they talk. Maybe not as much since Gino's been working nights.
When did your husband go on nights?
About 6 months ago.
He had no choice.
What? Did he make more money? What?
No, he He just decided that he wanted to work nights. Look, I don't understand why we're making such a big deal about this. I mean, what does it have to do with why I'm here?
Dominic didn't get where he is all by himself. You said last week that 6 months ago, Dom began to... He began to notice changes in him, right? Well, that's when your husband deserted your son.
What are you talking about?
Oh, look, can you honestly deny that the changes in your behavior and your husband's behavior have not touched your son?
Dominic doesn't know anything about this. Now, what's between me and Gino, that's our business.
Oh, Betty, that isn't the truth, and you know it.
Don't you call me a liar.
But you're pretending. You see, you're play-acting, and Dominic can't buy that.
That's why he's got to go somewhere else to think about it.
Our home is a good place. It's a quiet place. Now, you don't hear me and Gino yelling at one another like a lot of other couples that I know.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe there should be some yelling.
Yeah, you've got to open up. You've got to talk with one another. Look, your guts are twisted up inside of you. You've got to spill it all out. You've got to get rid of it.
I can't!
Betty begins to cry.
You won't let me. All he cares about is how it looks. We're just like strangers going through motions. Oh, God. I'd like to scream.
But talk.
We haven't talked to one another in years.
Betty weeps on Carol's shoulder.
It's all right, Betty.
At night, George walks into the kitchen, where Richie fixes a drink.
Why are you home so early?
I quit the job.
Quit or got fired?
I quit the job. Before old man Harris fired me, they had a lot more people than they need, and now they're cutting back. Last couple of weeks, that old croc has been laying all the dirty stuff on me, just waiting for me to quit. So I did.
George gets a beer from the fridge.
Don't you believe me?
Why shouldn't I believe you?
I suppose you think I should have just hung right in there no matter what the old buzzard did to me.
Oh, it's your job. You had to make up your own mind.
Seems to me I deserve a little credit. Hanging in there as long as I did.
Oh, I agree. Look, you save your money, right? Prove you get a job, right? Thing to do is to find something else right away.
Yeah, sure. I'm really tired. I'm gonna turn in.
Well, it's early. Maybe we could find something good on TV.
Richie steps into his bedroom and closes the door. He pushes aside the clothes in his closet and removes the false panel. Stepping into his private nook, he covers up the hole in the wall. He reaches for a book titled How to Talk to Girls. He sits down on a cushion and flicks on the strobe light. He pulls a little red pill from his pocket and carefully considers it. He remembers sitting in his basement with Brick. Brick lights a joint. He offers it to Richie, who shakes his head.
Why not?
get started.
Oh, come on, man. Just get high. Listen to the rain fall.
He takes another drag.
Come on, just take a couple of hits. You're not going to turn into a dope fiend. It's only marijuana. Go ahead, bitch.
Richie takes the joint.
Just breathe it in.
He takes a tentative drag.
Sounds like it's, I don't know.
Then another. Richie sits in his nook, looking down at the pill. He shoves the pill back into his pocket. Clasping his knees, he stares anxiously. The next morning, George sits with Richie at the kitchen table as Carol does the dishes.
You going job hunting today?
I don't know.
I wouldn't put it off if I were you.
Give me a chance to catch my breath, will you?
Well, it's what you do when you catch your breath that worries me.
Dad, please, let's not start off, all right?
Hey, listen, you know that charity I work with, you know, for exceptional children?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, we are throwing a big dance, you know, to raise some money.
Mom, what's that got to do with anything?
Well, we're also selling chances on a card. Anybody who sells $100 worth of chances gets 2 free tickets to the dance.
Not me.
Why not? Hey, you like that nice little girl. What's her name?
Her name's Sheila, and I could never sell $100 worth of chances.
Bet you could.
Well, even if I could, she probably wouldn't even want to go with me.
That's your new suit. She'd love to go with you.
Mom, please, just cut it out.
Hey, I'll help you if you want me to. I mean, we could go to those shopping centers, work the parking lots. I'll bet we could do it.
Well, if we haven't sold $50 worth by noon, call it quits.
You got a deal.
They shake on it. Soon after, in the shopping center parking lot, Richie carries a raffle sign and a handful of chances. He sets up the sign on a Cadillac's windshield. Richie quickly sells raffle chances to people leaving the shopping center. He helps a woman with her groceries, and she buys a chance. He tries to sell to a young man, but he shakes his head. The owner of the Cadillac tosses the sign at Richie. Richie tries to sell him a chance as George looks on and smiles.
Here, let me help you. Please, ma'am, I'll help you sell 2 more tickets.
Son, just 2 more tickets. Really, I'm not interested.
Not interested?
He does a Groucho Marx impression.
Not interested in that car. That's the most ridiculous thing I heard all day. I tell you what I'm going to do. We'll buy 2 tickets to that car, and I will come in personally to wash it, rain or shine, every Saturday. If you win. Say, does he go away? Can you go in a new car?
Yeah, I'll buy it. 3 here.
She hands him some money.
Ah, yeah.
He starts to leave, then hands her the chances.
Thank you.
Richie shuffles over to his dad. They hug in celebration. Soon after, Richie runs through a park, pulling a girl by the hand.
Record.
Oh, that's okay.
Wait, not today.
I want to keep going faster.
They hold hands and spin until the girl falls to the grass. Richie kneels beside her.
Richie, what kind of high are you?
Oh, gosh. The greatest. The greatest. Oh, natural.
I've never seen you like this.
Yeah, I know. Sheila, I wanted to do something, but I didn't ever think I could bring it off. I mean,
Well, for once, I didn't talk myself out of it. I just went ahead and I tried. What do you know? I was sensational.
Of course. What did you do?
I did it partly for you.
What did you do for me?
Leaning in, he kisses Sheila.
I was so scared. You were gone. I mean, with the pills. Hey, if you did something partly for me, don't I have a right to know what it is?
Yeah. Well,
beaming, he climbs to his feet.
You know my mom? She works for this charity outfit, and then throwing this fancy dance. $25 a couple. So what did I do? I go out and I sell $100 worth of chances on a car, and as a prize, I won 2 tickets to that fancy dance.
$100 worth of chances?
Yeah. You should have seen me. I mean, it was like nobody could say no to me. So I don't know. Sheila, will you go with me?
When is it?
It's next Friday night. I'm also getting a new suit.
Richie. I can't.
His smile vanishes.
Why not?
I have a date with somebody else.
You don't understand. Sheila, this is very special.
I know. Sorry. I can't just dump on this other guy.
Okay.
I hadn't heard from you in so long.
It's okay.
He starts past her.
Richie, there'll be another time.
There's always another time.
He walks away. Later, Richie furiously cleans the basement. He finds his father's unlocked gun case and opens it. There are a couple of handguns and bullets inside. He quickly closes it.
Hey, Richie, you want to play some catch?
It's too hot.
Russell walks downstairs.
Dad, can you clean up the basement?
I do things without being told.
Hey, what was this for?
Russell picks up a birdcage.
That's from a crow.
Your crow? You had a pet crow?
Yeah. Yes, when you were really little. Boy, you should have heard him talk.
What'd he say?
All kinds of things. Made a lot more sense than most people.
I guess you had just about every kind of pet. Dogs, rabbits, skunks.
Yeah, skunk. Good old Kaloon.
Mom used to tell me she thought you were gonna either be a zookeeper or a veterinarian.
Yeah, that's because, you know, all the kids used to bring me their pets when they were sick. I'd take really good care of him.
Oh, I gotta get the door.
He runs upstairs, leaving Richie to reminisce with his birdcage.
Who is it, Russell?
It's somebody for you.
Who is it?
Brick walks in.
Richie. What are you doing here? You know, we're at the lake, man. Got a couple of bottles of sweet wine.
He lights a joint.
Some really, really fine Colombian. I thought, you know, you might be in the mood for a little picnic.
I'm cleaning up the basement, man.
We got a pipe, man. Come on. Get out of the house. Go up to the lake. Get a little sun. Play a little music. Oh, smoke a little dope.
I'll just give him a towel. Okay.
Richie heads upstairs, and Brick looks into the empty birdcage. He blows smoke through the cage door. Russell watches him nervously.
What are you looking at?
Nothing.
You want to get high?
Brick walks toward him.
Go ahead, man.
He holds out the joint.
It's good. Really. Come on, friend. Just take a hit. Go ahead.
As Russell reaches...
Get out, Brick!
Richie storms in.
Jerk! It's cool, man. Don't get up tight. What are you trying to do? Don't worry about it, okay? Meet you in the car.
Brick heads upstairs.
You tell Daddy and I'll bust you.
Richie.
And if you ever turn into a head...
He caresses Russell's shoulder.
Break your bones. Okay?
Yeah.
Richie leaves. At the lake, Brick plays the harmonica and Mark backs him up on guitar. Woo! As Peanut swigs from a bottle, Richie ignores his friends. Other groups of teenagers hang out nearby.
Richie, you want some of this, man?
He holds out a joint.
Hey, Richie. Hi.
Hi.
The pretty teen smiles and walks away.
Who's the chick, Richie? That's Janie, Kurt Taylor's girl.
Oh, Janie.
Richie watches Peanut's guzzle from the bottle. He gets up and approaches Janie. But gets nervous and stops. Janie's friends goof around with each other. He turns back and looks at his drunk, stoned friends. He grabs his head and drops to his knees, confused and upset. He looks at his friends. Then looks at Janie's friends. Getting up, he mopes back to his own friends. Richie grabs the joint from Peanuts and takes a long haul. He lies down on a blanket and keeps smoking. Peanuts holds up a little red pill. Soon after, Richie stumbles down the street, completely disoriented. He lurches up to his house, and George runs to catch him.
Get out of my way! Get out of my way!
Richie!
He bursts into the house.
You're gonna tell us what happened. You get into a fight.
Thank you.
He staggers to his room.
What's wrong with him?
So
same thing as always.
George slowly walks down the hall and steps into Richie's room, where the closet door is open. George hears the whimpering from the closet and steps inside. He pushes aside the clothes and finds the hidden panel. He yanks it off the back wall. He finds Richie cuddled up in the nook with the strobe light on.
Go away! Go away! Leave me alone!
George lifts Richie and smashes the strobe light.
Found it! Found it!
He shoves Richie out of the closet. And his mother hugs him. George trashes the nook. Richie runs from the house. Carol stands stunned in the bedroom as George continues to destroy Richie's hideaway. Spent, George sinks to the floor. Soon after, Brick hurries into the arcade. Near comatose, Richie collapses into Brick's arms. Brick drags him to the door past curious onlookers. They fall to the floor.
Rich, what are you doing? Riz, how long did you take?
He counts off the fingers of both hands.
Nine? Took nine reds? What are you trying to do, Richie? Nobody takes nine reds. Do one thing. But do it right. Oh, my God. Richie!
He begins to retch.
Crazy, Richie! Crazy! Crazy!
Brick drags him out of the arcade. That night, George waits in the living room with Carol. They look out the window.
Please, George, leave him alone. Don't bother him now. I mean, it's just going to make things worse. Now, let him go to bed and get some sleep. And next week he'll be back at school again. I think things will be a whole lot better. Please.
You okay?
For me.
He hugs her.
Okay. Come on, Richie.
George leads Carol to their bedroom. They listen to Richie in the hall. Later, at the high school, the principal dials a telephone as the school nurse anxiously looks on.
Mr. Warner?
That's right.
This is Jim Fisher, principal of the high school. Could you please come over and pick up your son?
What's the matter, Richie? Sick or something?
So far this morning, he has threatened a study hall supervisor, was very abusive to me, and tried to attack the school nurse.
I'll be right over.
What is it?
Richie.
Soon after, George and Carol hurry to the nurse's office. They find Richie heavily doped up, with his head lolling from side to side.
Let me get out.
He staggers to his feet.
Oh, his parents then.
Oh, Richie.
Oh, dear.
He hugs George.
Good to see you.
Then falls back into his seat.
Oh,
All right.
Please let me talk.
Oh, that lady? She's all heart. Underneath that star's uniform, another star's uniform. Get her out of here.
The nurse pulls George aside.
Thank you for responding so promptly, Mr. Woody. We really couldn't do anything with Richie. In study hall, he threatened to hit Miss Garth. He was violently abusive to the principal, and when I tried to help him, he tried to attack me. I asked him if he was taking medication. He said it was antibiotics for...
George shakes his head.
Yes, well, I guess barbiturates.
I'll take them all. Richie, let's go home.
She lied to you, you know that? Lies, nothing but lies.
George pins him to the wall.
No!
Carol pulls George off and hugs her son.
Oh, God. Why won't anybody believe I'm sick? God.
It's all right, Richie. We're going to go home.
Why won't anybody believe I'm sick?
Come on, let's go.
He's going to
be all
right. We're going to go home.
Come on.
They walk him out of the room. Later, Richie lies in bed. Carol tucks him in. She stands at his bedside, looking down with grave concern. She leaves the room. Looking over her shoulder, she heads to the telephone.
Hey, this is Carol.
Carol, how are you? It's been such a long time since we talked.
No, I know, not since that night at the drug council. Listen, are you and Dominic still going to the clinic?
We sure are. And Gino's gotten off working nights, so he goes too.
No miracles, but everything's better. A lot better.
Listen, I can't talk right now. I'll call you back later.
She hangs up. And George walks in.
George, we have got to talk.
I can't now. I'm due at the gun club.
Can't that wait, please? George, we have got to get some help for Richie right now. With those barbiturates, he could kill himself. If we had gone to that drug council last
week. I'm not laying my problems out to a bunch of strangers.
But George, you went to court. You told the caseworker. You told the judge.
Yeah, well, that's different. That's the law.
You know Betty Fermani? Well, she has a son who had a drug problem, and ever since they've been going to the clinic, he's been doing a whole lot better.
Richie won't go.
He would if you went with him. If we all went together, it is a family problem.
Richie's the family problem. He's the only problem this family's got. Am I getting involved in that situation is going to change him? And until something changes him, we're never going to have any peace in this house. I'm more interested in how to get him back into school.
He leaves. Later, in the principal's office.
Your performance is poor. The semester's half over, and you're failing in every course.
Well, I realize that. I guess it made me kind of desperate.
Less desperation, Richard, and more perspiration.
Hard work.
There's no substitute for it. Maybe you don't care whether you graduate.
I do care. I do. It's very important to me.
Why?
I want to go on to college. My parents would like that very much. I'd like to get into electronics, you know, sound engineering.
All right. You really seem to mean it. But you have to more than say that you want to graduate. You have to do something about it. I'll expect to see an improvement, an immediate improvement. Your attendance, application, and your attitude. You're reinstated.
Thank you.
Richie gets up to leave.
Richard, do a good job. Don't disappoint me.
No, sir. I mean, yes, sir.
Later, Richie sits in his room doing his homework. He puts down his pencil in frustration and gets up to stretch. Stepping into the hall, he heads to the living room as his mother answers the door.
Trick or treat!
Oh, this one's for you. That's it. Run along, no. Be careful. Now watch out for the cars. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Carol closes the door.
Gosh. Remember the neat costumes you used to make for me?
Oh, do I remember? How could I forget? Started nagging me every year just before school would start. What am I going to be for Halloween?
Every year it had to be different. Almost every year I'd walk off with first prize.
George smiles at him.
All the kids wanted to go with me, you know, so people would get turned on by my costume and give me extra judge. Let me get that.
Richie runs to the door.
Trick or treat! Trick or treat! Can I have some
more? Let me see. Here, how's that? Open your mouth. All right.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
He watches the young kids hurry to the next house.
It's garbage.
Richie?
Richie, shut the door, will you? It's cold.
Knock. Filled out your sack, expecting cookies and candies. Fill it with garbage.
Richie, what are you talking about?
Will you shut the door, please?
I'm going out.
Well, you're not. We have a deal, remember? Weeknight, you to stay home and study. You promised the principal.
Screw that, I'm going out.
Heard your mother, you're not going anywhere.
I wouldn't bank on that.
You go out now, don't bother to come back. The door will be locked.
Richie leaves. George sorrowfully closes the door. Later, George and Carol lie in bed, listening to the noise at the front door.
George, please.
George sits up. Reluctantly, he gets out of bed, and Carol follows him to the front door. He opens the door, and Richie stumbles in.
How?
Russell runs in.
How can anybody be as mean as you are? I mean, what have I ever done you in my whole life to make you hate me so much?
Richie, come on,
bitch. You hate me!
Mother and I love you.
No, you don't. You hate me. You hate me.
We've done our best to give you everything to make you happy.
Oh, sure. You go through the motions when people are watching, but you don't mean it. You don't feel it.
You're in no condition to judge my feelings.
Why don't you be honest with me? The only reason I'm here is 17 years ago, you and Mom made a mistake. That's what I am. I'm a mistake when you started fooling around.
George slaps him.
Oh.
Richie runs to his room.
Hey, Richie, I love you.
Russell, go to bed.
Daddy,
go to bed now. Everything will be all right.
George hugs Russell. Russell goes back to bed. George slowly approaches his fretting wife.
We have got to get some help.
Later, George attaches clips to the telephone wire in the basement.
I really can't believe this. Bugging the phone. How in the name of God is that going
to
help Richie?
Listen to us, will he? Not while he's hanging out with those friends of his. So I'm going to find a way to make him listen.
Like that?
That's right. Where's he getting the money to buy these drugs?
I don't know.
I think he's doing more than using. I think he's selling now.
You don't know
or
that.
Or he's stealing to get the money. Either way, it's against the law. When I find that out, he's going to have to listen to me. Or go to jail.
It's wrong, George. I know that it's wrong for a father to do that to his son.
What else do you want me to do? And don't start up about that drug council. We're way past that.
Carol storms up the stairs. George slams a cassette into the bugging device and hits record. Then heads upstairs. Later, on the cassette.
Rick got some really good grass. It was there when you bought it. Did you get it for him?
No.
George sits in the basement, listening.
Paid enough for it. Paid $130 for half a pound. What, are you serious? I swear to God. And listen to this. There's about 5 ounces of twigs in it. Couldn't even see green. All you could see was lumber.
George stops the cassette and rewinds.
Hola, Mark. Hey, Richie, what's happening, man? Well, listen.
Later, he plays the cassette for Richie and his friends.
He says he's ready to make a buy on that hash, you know? Where did Peanuts get $10, huh? Well, he doesn't have it right this minute, but somebody's buying some grass from him in about 10 minutes.
Boys heard enough? Now, that's just a sample. I have a few more of these cassettes.
What are you going to do with
them? I should tell the police. That would be the finish of anybody on parole. But I think the fair thing to do is to call your parents.
You don't call my folks. They got enough problems. Why are you doing this anyway?
To save my son!
Look at me, guys.
Okay, go ahead. Tell them. I mean, what do I care? They know all about it.
I don't think that's true.
What if we promise to stop?
I wouldn't believe it. But in spite of that, I'm going to give you another chance. I won't tell the police. I won't call your parents. And in return, Richie isn't to see any one of you anymore. Or talk to you on the phone.
Richie smiles in disbelief.
Okay. Say your goodbyes.
They head to the door. And Richie follows them outside.
What a chump. I don't believe this guy bugging his own kid.
Richie, think your old man's really had to make trouble for us?
My old man ain't making trouble for nobody. Except himself.
It's cool.
Catch you later, Richie.
Brick slips Richie a joint as they leave.
Yeah, there.
Later, George, Russell, and Carol sit at the kitchen table.
May I please finish up in the living room? There's some TV I want to watch. Go ahead.
Russell carries his plate into the living room.
Do you want some more coffee?
No.
You know, I was thinking today, maybe we could get that new bike for Russell for Christmas.
Christmas? It's a long way off.
I'll be here before we know it.
Richie stumbles out of his room.
I've got some supper for you, Richie.
Not hungry.
You found something better than food. That promise you and your buddies made me didn't last long, did it?
What we do is no business of yours.
Well, then I'll let the police handle it.
George blocks the path to the front door, and Richie tries to walk around him.
Get out of my way.
You're not going anywhere.
You better do what I tell you, man. I got a razor right here. You stand there and I'll use it.
Please stop it! You know, Richie, if you hate us so much, everything that we are, everything that we believe in, why don't you just go away? Please, just go away.
Carol begins to weep. George comforts her.
I'm sorry.
Richie leaves. Later, in court.
Your Honor, we need help. And my son hates me. He says he loves his mother, but he's killing her with the things he does. Crazy things. I can't talk to him. Whenever I try, he turns nasty. Last time, he threatened me with a razor. I don't know what to do. I hope you can help us.
Mr. Werner, you've asked this court for an order of protection. That's a very rare legal tool. Something a judge only reaches for when there just aren't any alternatives left. If a child breaks such an order, the police make an automatic arrest and the child goes to jail for 6 months.
George glances at Richie.
That's what I want.
What's all this about threatening your father with a razor?
He was after me. I just wanted to get him off my back.
That's a lie!
Mr. Werner, you'll have your turn.
He nods to the judge.
I didn't have any razor. Just wanted him to think I did.
Before we take any action in this order of protection, I'm again recommending family counseling because you and your son can't talk to each other. You'll have to talk to each other. If you don't, you'll never find an answer. Certainly not in this court. Do you understand the recommendation?
Yes, Your Honor.
You may go, Mr. Werner.
They leave the courtroom. Later, Carol waits in a hallway as George storms out of an office and paces.
I told you this family counseling business is a waste of time.
George, you weren't in there for 5 minutes.
Yeah? Well, I'm not the troublemaker. He is.
Look, a lot of what Richie does is because of the way he feels about us.
He doesn't give a damn about us. He's in there right now telling one of his cock and bull stories.
George sits by the office door.
Where are we going to be when we get out of here?
Well, it's helping for mommy's. I mean, Dom's dreams.
Richie and the counselor step out.
Mrs. Werner, would you like to come in now, please?
As Carol steps into the office, Richie walks past George to sit at the end of the hall. In the office.
Mrs. Werner, I feel the situation in your family is very critical. We should try to thaw it out as quickly as we can. If I could have all three of you in here together.
Can we do it now?
Well, I wish that were possible, but I have to testify in juvenile court. What about the same time tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, I think that'd be fine. Can I just go check?
Of course.
She steps back into the hall.
Don't
about it, Richie. Miss Franklin said she'd like to see us all again tomorrow.
Well, not me. I'll be on the road next 3 or 4 days.
Tell you what, I'll be through in court by 5. I'll come back.
I can't waste any more time.
But George, maybe Richie and I could come back
tomorrow. I'm not coming without him. No way.
When you agree on a time, if you'll call me.
Yeah, sure.
George walks out. And Richie follows, leaving Carol to fight back her tears.
They'll never agree on a time. I'm sorry.
She quickly leaves. Later, George listens to another cassette.
It's gonna be a real nice party, Richie. Everybody'd like you to come.
I can't make it.
Why not?
Well, there'd be a lot of people, I don't know.
That's no reason. I want you to come. It's good to feel wanted, you know.
What?
Did you ever feel wanted?
Who, me? Never heard of the word.
A tear rolls down his cheek, and he rewinds the cassette. George drops his head and cries. Later, the extended family gathers around a Christmas tree.
I think that that's the prettiest tree that you've ever had.
You say that every year, Annie Lane.
Yeah, usually after your second drink.
Well, George really mixes a powerhouse.
That's good for you. Christmas comes once a year.
Thank you.
Oh, dear, where's Richie?
Well, I hope he's around.
Now he's getting ready to make a big entrance.
Yeah, thank you.
That could be on TV.
Yeah, I thought maybe he deserted us for his girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you.
She doesn't go steady with anybody.
Oh, he hasn't met the right girl yet.
Well, maybe he's met her and doesn't know it.
When he meets her, he'll know.
Oh, listen to the expert. What made you so sure that Carol was the right girl for you?
Let's see now.
I happen to live across the street.
Right. You lived across the street. I was lazy.
Okay, now we know why George wanted you to marry him. But, sis, why did you say yes?
Because I'm perfect. I'll tell you why she said yes. Because her father brought her up right. And when a good man tells her what to do, she does it.
Oh, terrific. So how come you didn't train my wife the same way?
Carol steps over to her mother.
Your every wish is my command, darling.
Mom, you're not eating anything. Why don't you have some chips and dip?
Fuss over me. I love it. Carol. Are you all right? You feel all right?
Yeah, sure, wife.
Well, you look tired, and you seem to be worried. Maybe you're trying to do too much. Well, I know that bringing up two boys these days is enough to frazzle anybody. But where is that oldest scamp of yours?
He is in his room, listening to rock.
He could take the time to come say hello to his grandma. I'm going to roust him.
No, you sit still. I'm going to get him.
Carol walks into the hall and hesitates, then heads to Richie's room. She slips inside and finds him smoking a joint in bed.
And get up and come and say hello to Grandma and Grandpa. Oh, Richie, please, not tonight. It's Christmas Eve. Please. Please, get up and come with me.
I can't.
She leaves the room. And George spots her standing in the hall.
Jolly,
As he looks away, Carol begins to cry. Later, George drives up to the house on a sunny afternoon. He notices a car in the driveway and music coming from inside the house. He stands outside, wondering what to do. He hurries back to his car. He drives away. In Richie's room, Janie dances as Richie hangs out with her friends.
Yeah, Rich, this is some kind of room you got here.
Maybe I should have been an interior decorator, huh? Mm-hmm.
Thing is, with all this stuff going on, how do you get any sleep, huh?
Why, man? One way or another.
Richie changes the record.
Richie.
Two cops burst in, with George behind them.
What are you guys doing here?
They search the room.
Hey, this is my room. What do you think you're doing? Get your hands off that, will you? What right have you got to come busting in here like this?
I'll ask the questions. Now, what are you doing home at this hour?
I've been suspended.
Oh. Sure, finally got wise to you, huh?
You brought the buzz here to make a bust, didn't you?
That's right.
You think?
Mr. Warner, we were only listening to records.
That's right. Richie got suspended. We only came here to keep him company, and that's all.
Yeah.
I think we
sure.
Better go.
Hi, Richie.
What's going on?
Janie and her friends leave.
Why didn't you send for the Marines? Call the FBI while you're at it. Hey, you need some help? Here. Look in the pockets. Oh, they're all over the place. Everything. My little kid's stuff, everything.
The place looks clean, Mr. Warner. I'm sorry, I was sure...
Yeah, I understand.
The cops leave, and George follows them to the front door. Richie kicks his beanbag chair.
Take care, Mr. Warner.
Richie marches out of his room.
You really let down, aren't you? Oh, you were so sure you'd nailed me. You were gonna stand there with that pained look on your face, shaking your dumb head just like you always do while the fuzz hauled me off to the slammer, huh? It's too bad. But I guess you just have to keep him locked up for the rest of his unnatural life, huh? Wait a minute.
I have to go to work.
Richie grabs him.
Oh, someday... You're gonna get it?
George backhands him and prepares to fight.
Come on, punk!
Richie grabs a pair of scissors.
Will you and me fight? It's not gonna be fair. It never has been. One night, these are gonna be right at your throat.
George fights him off.
You're not my son, you're...
He pounces and Richie slashes at him.
Oh, I'll do it.
George stares in disbelief as Richie holds up the scissors, ready to strike. He turns his back on his son. Picking his jacket off the floor, George slowly approaches and raises his palm for peace.
Richie. Let's stop this.
Let's sit down and try to talk.
Tired of talking. Tired of talking to you.
As Richie wields the scissors, George nods.
I'm tired of everything.
George walks to the door and leaves. Richie looks at the scissors in his hand. He throws them at the door. Soon after, Carol talks on the phone.
Richie, please, I can't even make out what you're saying. Please, just try to stop crying.
Danny slapped me, and I went under with his scissors. I didn't touch him. I didn't go under him.
Richie, are you on something?
Oh, no. Mama, I'm crazy.
You're not. Don't say that.
I went under Danny. I tried to kill him.
All right, Richie. Now, just calm down. Just calm down. Try to rest. I'll get home just as fast as I can.
Richie hangs up, as does Carol.
What is it?
Carol's sister looks on with concern.
Look, you know people at that medical center. I gotta get Richie to a psychiatrist.
Carol, what's the matter?
It's Richie. I gotta get some help. You get me help.
All right, sure. Listen, I'll just leave it up to me, okay?
She quickly dials the phone. Soon after, Richie sits at the psychiatric hospital.
Circle the questions you feel apply to you. Do you feel alone at a party? Are you easily upset or irritated? Do you have to be on guard even with friends? Do you feel alienated from your parents?
In a psychiatrist's office.
Patient number 5871. Smokes pot, uses down pills. Patient cannot keep job. Patient feels angry, aggressive, especially towards father. Patient has friends he trusts, Pat, Kurt. Patient does not like school.
Name, age, height, weight. That isn't me. I wish he'd look at me. Should he? I mean, what am I to him? I'm not a person. Numbers on a sheet of paper. I'm Richie. 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 Richie is scared. Richie is lonely. Richie is going out of his head.
Later, he stands alone in a park.
You have petitioned the court for an order of protection against Richie. When the court authorizes it, we'll accept him as an outpatient.
Didn't he tell you about attacking his father with the scissors?
Yes, he did.
Don't you think? But he needs immediate attention.
It must be cleared with court.
Can you at least tell me what's wrong?
Well, your son may be sociopathic with drug abuse, or there may be latent schizophrenia with drug abuse, or the diagnosis may be passive-aggressive personality with drug abuse.
Those are just words.
You asked for a diagnosis.
No, I asked for help.
Well, we want to help, but there are rules.
But he's sick.
He plays on the swings.
Mrs. Werner, your son should have been brought to us a year ago, 2 years. It took time for him to get this sick. It'll take time to help him get well.
I'm Richie. Richie. I'm not scared of nothing. I mean, boy, I get this feeling. It's like I can handle any problem. Come off just like a hero. You know? Stand back, world. Because here comes Richie. And nobody can stop him.
He swings high into the sky. Later, as Richie stands with the police officer beside his wrecked car, George pulls up.
I'm George Werner. I'm his father.
He must have been doing 40 or 50 to make a mess like this. Lucky nobody was hurt.
Yeah.
Your son says you're covered.
That's right, I'm covered.
George steps aside with Richie.
So now what?
I don't know what to tell you. I don't even know why you're here. I mean, I can handle everything.
You can't handle anything. What do you want today?
What am I on?
Yeah, what do you want?
I'm on the spot, man.
George slaps him.
You think this is funny?
Yeah, I think it's funny. It's hilarious. Especially you. You're one big joke book.
I'll take him home.
You just order everybody around, take don't you? Come on, let's go home, huh?
Richie's friend leads him away.
You've got a hell of a mess on your hands. The insurance going to cover this?
Yeah. Yeah, my carrier's GA boy.
Richie watches his father and the police officer. He gets into his father's car. Later, he opens a tin of pills and joints and takes out a red capsule. He pops it in his mouth. Then takes another. He stumbles out of his room in a haze and heads straight for his parents.
Hey, you! You! Did you tell those cats I was on drugs, huh? Damn it, answer me!
George walks away.
Ah! Hey, you!
As George steps into the basement, Carol tries to control Richie. Richie staggers into the basement.
You! Did you tell those cops on yourself, huh? Ah!
He throws a can of paint at George, and Carol tries to hold him back.
I asked you a question, I want an answer, huh?
He lunges at George with a screwdriver.
Did you tell those cops on yourself?
George reaches into his gun case.
Ah! I got you. Now answer me.
He draws his pistol.
God. Look at that. He's got a gun. Look at that. Go ahead. Shoot me.
Stop it.
Come on, use it. Please. Go ahead, use it.
Please.
Use it.
Please.
Shoot me.
Stop it.
Go ahead.
He cocks the hammer.
Shoot me.
Stop
Shoot
it.
It.
Richie seizes up and falls to the floor. George kicks the screwdriver away.
Richie!
Richie bolts up the stairs.
God, my God, what are we gonna do?
I don't know. I don't know.
He comes back down with a butcher knife. He falls, but gets back up and advances on his parents.
Shoot me! Shoot me! Shoot me!
George raises the pistol.
Shoot me!
Richie lunges, and George fires. Later, a bouquet of flowers sits on Richie's coffin at his burial service.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul.
George and Carol sit beside the coffin with Russell standing behind them.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sheila?
Holding flowers and a piece of paper, Sheila steps forward and reads.
To us, you will exist. In the flowers, in the trees, and in all the things of nature God has given us. Richie, you are now in a world of peace and happiness. Forever.
Tears roll down George's cheeks.
Pray for us, as we pray for you. And somewhere, sometime, we shall join. Love from all your friends.
She folds the paper and places it on the coffin with the flowers. The minister shakes hands with the family. George and Carol stand and hug Russell. Carol lays a rose on the coffin, then walks away with Russell. As the other mourners leave, George stands at the coffin with a single rose. He lays it on the coffin. The grand jury voted unanimously not to indict George Werner for the shooting death of his son. He is a free man. George leaves with his family. This described version of The Death of Richie was created by Audiovision Canada. The narrative description was written by J.J. Hunt, narrated by Valerie Hunter, and produced by Jim DeMello and Marco Sorin. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audiovision Canada, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667. Cast: Ben Gazzara is George, Eileen Brennan is Carol, Robbie Benson is Richie, Lance Kerwin is Russell. A Viacom presentation.